to episode 3 of Partners in Crime. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Curtis.
And it's been a little bit over a week because I just started classes this week and it's been busy. We've been really busy. So,
can you just admit that this is really how you live your life and you're late to literally everything?
Yeah, I would love to say we're going to post every day on a certain day, but it probably will never happen. So
I think we should. We should be consistent.
Someday, maybe. Do you have anything you want to add about your week? Or no?
No, I just told everybody how you live your life, and then it drives me insane.
That's true. At least I don't show up to the wrong day to my appointment, so.
Wow. What a low blow.
Just saying. Okay, so today we are going to be going over the mysterious death of Jessica Renee Johnson. Have you heard of her?
No.
Okay, so imagine you're delivering your mail on like a mounted rope.
I just have to give everybody, you know, into this again, because this may be their first episode, that we're both mail carriers, and a mounted route means that you're on an all driving route. Yes. Not a walking route. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, correct. So imagine that you're on a mounted route and you're driving and you pull up to a mailbox and you find a dead body.
Okay.
Right. Well, I mean, I've done that before.
Like in the mailbox or
no,
like?
No, like next to the mailbox, which I've done. That.
Oh, like they were just getting their mail and they fell over and died?
I mean, that's not what happened, but I guess that's what happened when I found a dead body on my route. He had just passed away.
Well, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, just like sitting there. But apparently I'm not the only person that this has happened to.
That's true. You're not even the only one in our office.
Yeah, that's also true. But in Horn Lake, Mississippi on June 2nd, this happened to a mail lady that was delivering the mail in the city. Okay.
Okay.
I think it feels different to have found a body due to natural causes rather than murder, but I don't know, because I feel like it would be different walking up to, or, you know, delivering mail up to a house and like the body was in bad shape. Versus...
No, there's literally no comparison, because if you think about it, if somebody were to die of natural causes, right, you deliver the mail every day. So if they're outside, you're going to see them that day. But if you find somebody due to natural causes in their house, obviously their body's going to be decomposing, which smells awful. Or you're going to find somebody that's murdered outside, which is what it sounds like. And there's probably going to be gash wounds and maybe a decapitation or something along that nature where you're going to be absolutely frightened and disgusted.
Well, okay, so then this mail lady calls another mail carrier who came and I smacked the mic, came and took a picture, and then they called the cops because I mean, realistically, she was probably like freaked out, you know, and probably didn't know what to do. So,
why would you take a picture?
It's the bystander effect.
No way. If I found a dead body on my route, I'm not taking a picture of it.
Okay, that's you, but you can't say what somebody else might think is the first thing to do, you know?
No. This isn't like you're finding Bigfoot. This is like someone's private life.
Hey, I get it.
I would never.
I'm not throwing shade on the mail carriers. I'm just saying that that's
okay. Okay.
So Jessica Renee Johnson was a 37-year-old mother of two. She had a son and a daughter. She lived with her parents, David and Linda Johnson, who by all accounts loved having their grandkids living with them. On May 31st, 2017, Jessica told her mom she was going to stay with her boyfriend for the night. On June 1st, the next day, she calls her daughter to let her know that she would be home soon. Jessica calls her daughter to let her know she'd be coming home soon.
Okay.
Her boyfriend's name was Garland Hart. They had an on-off-again relationship, and a lot of people didn't like their relationship because he was pretty abusive. But she, I think, thought that she could save him. You know, the whole... It's like the typical abusive relationship over the reasons why they stay and stuff. And she also had a little bit of a drug problem but she believed that being with Garland helped her avoid her drug problem, if that makes sense. I think it made sense to her.
It was probably only her. It seems like he would have made it worse.
I mean, I agree, but it seems like that's like when it was good, she was happy, basically, if that makes sense.
Right.
Jessica's friends and family did not like Garland because he was abusive and toxic for her. And basically, it was just, you know, I'm going to go see Garland. And the kids stayed with her mom for the night, kind of thing. So by Friday, June 2nd, in the morning, Linda couldn't get a hold of Jessica because she was supposed to come home on the 1st, on Thursday. And she never came home. And her kids, I mean, she called her daughter and said she was going to be coming home. And by Friday morning, she still wasn't home. She wouldn't answer the phone, all that kinds of stuff. So later that day, after the mail lady found Jessica, Linda got a call from a mother, a call that a mother should never receive. And it was from the coroner's office, but it's not what you might think. So what do you think they said to the mom?
Well, I'm assuming because we're on this podcast that she's probably dead.
Yeah, okay, so, yeah, of course, that's what she said, but when the mail lady found Jessica, she was found in a very disturbing position. The home she was found outside of was Garland's friend, who he stayed with on and off for long periods of time, basically, and this house was less than 5 miles away from her mom and dad's house, okay? Jessica was next to a 38-inch off-the-ground mailbox, so basically a waist-level mailbox, with her knees up against the box and her legs were underneath her, if that makes sense. Like, so she was like kneeling, but leaned up against the box.
Okay. It was like her head was like resting on the pole.
Like her cheek was resting on the pole. And her half open purse was sitting in between her legs. And there was shoelaces tied around her neck and tied to the mailbox post.
I gotta stop you here. I'm sorry. I had the strangest feeling, and I'm not trying to make a joke of this, but you were going to say that she was strangled, because do you know what Garland is?
No.
Garland's that stuff that you wrap around a Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, and so I was thinking it was going to be like wrapped around her, no, or something.
No, no.
So, I don't know why.
So her unlaced shoes were found just a few feet away from her, and they had noticeable blood spatter on them. So like, picture that scene. Right, that sounds like a gruesome murder, right?
Right, that's what I'm saying. It sounds horrific.
Yeah, the coroner's office called Linda, her mother, called to tell her that it seems that Jessica had been found and it seems that she has committed suicide.
How would you commit suicide by tying your neck around a mailbox?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense. Like, everything I described to you sounds like her boyfriend was abusive. She, you know, we'll later get into, like, the night before she died. And it's just, it all seems like she was obviously murdered and then sat there. But they're like, nope, it was a suicide.
Yeah, that's wild. I can't imagine tying something around my neck to something else.
Because that's just the thing, too, is her hands were found resting on her purse, for one. And for two, how would you be able to gauge the tightness you would need for your shoe? I mean, shoelaces aren't very strong rope material.
Right, and why would you make it so public, like a cry for help?
No, I don't think it was. I really think she was killed. And so, because like it says later on too, that the owner of the home, which he's not named anywhere that I could find, said that she was pulling the shoelaces out of her shoes the night before, threatening to kill herself. That's what he says happened, but he's also friends with Garland. So, I mean, I don't know. You can take it as far as you can.
Wow.
I guess. Her family thought it was really odd because when she was found, she was not wearing any makeup at all, which according to her family was just not her. Her mom actually said she did have a drug problem in that she feels like if she was going to kill herself, she would have just taken a bunch of Xanax and died peacefully in the way she wanted to look. You know what I mean?
Right.
She would have like kept her dignity of the way she looked. And in this, the way she was found, she just was like not wearing any makeup. She was just really beat up. And I mean, there was blood on her shoes. Obviously, there was something going on. The medical examiner recalled Jessica had marks on her hands and a footprint along her hand and arm. So basically, like someone stepped on her wrist, which looked to indicate that she had been beaten up before she died. Ultimately, her cause of death was determined to be asphyxiation due to the ligature strangulation. And that's how they confirmed that she had committed suicide, is what they're saying.
I just have to stop you, and I'm sorry if I'm ruining this for all the listeners,
fine.
But
you're fine.
Is this still to this day considered a suicide?
Still to this day, it is considered a suicide.
That's insane.
I'm saying. So Garland immediately says he had no involvement with Jessica's death, even though there are multiple reports of abuse, both physical and mental, and she was found outside the home that he was at the time living at. Okay. So there's that. The coroner, who was DeSoto County's coroner, Jeff Pounders, the coroner believed that she tied the shoelaces together and then tied the shoelaces around her own neck and the mailbox, effectively hanging herself on the mailbox. But she wasn't, like, leaning forward. She was sitting upright.
I mean, I guess if she suffocated, but that still seems crazy enough that, like, you could tie yourself to that. Because this isn't like you're tying a noose and you're hanging yourself. You're literally using shoelaces to cut off your airway.
Right, and that's just it. I feel like she would have, like, survival instincts could have kicked in and she would have just pulled them back off.
And that also makes you wonder about, like, the blood splatter. Like, where did that come from?
Well, it did say that she was beat before she died. Like, they had gotten in an argument and it got physical.
So he admitted to beating her, but he didn't admit to killing her?
He didn't admit to beating her, but it was obvious that she had gotten in a physical altercation with someone. And he was known to be abusive. Actually, at the time of her death, he had a warrant out for his arrest for a domestic dispute or a domestic violence dispute in a different case situation. So he was just like a violent guy anyways. So
this just doesn't even make sense.
No, it does not make sense. And that's why I'm talking about it, because Jessica's family is still trying to find answers. So I'm just putting it out there because I feel like this should be talked about. Jessica's family are positive that there's no way Jessica would have taken her own life. They were sure that this was a murder. And by all accounts, she was a loving, devoted mother who would not have left her kids like this. She only had a partial autopsy done, and they concluded that she did have Xanax and meth in her system, but not enough to overdose on, and it did not contribute to her death. So basically, it sounds like the police were like, okay, this is messy. She had drugs in her system. She was in an abusive relationship. She probably got sad and killed herself. Let's just open shut this case. That's what it sounds like the police did. I feel like the police really dropped the ball here. No one reported seeing Jessica after 6 p.m. on Thursday, June 1st. And she wasn't found until 9:30, 10 o'clock the next morning. And this was a road that people were driving up and down all morning.
Right.
So it's odd to me that nobody noticed that a 37-year-old woman was tied up by her throat to a mailbox post. I don't know. It's just my take on it. So even though it was ruled a suicide, police investigated in terms of what had led up to her death. They spoke to Garland's friend and the owner of the house about what had happened on June 1st. He told police that he had people at the house. Jessica, Garland, and some other friends were there. And this is what he says about Jessica. Quote, from the time that they showed up Wednesday to Thursday, she seemed out of her, normal self. That's the first time I've seen them together in a few months. That's the first time I've seen them in a few months together. And she just, I don't know. She was just really, I think, lovesick. She was more dramatic than I'd ever seen her, end quote.
What does that mean?
I don't know. So I guess she was what it sounds like to me was that he was trying to say that she was acting crazy and it made Garland mad because they were fighting. Okay, the homeowner also expressed that she sent him a text later on Thursday that said that she didn't want to feel the pain or anything anymore. Seems weird. Like, it almost seems like they just collaborated a story.
Yeah, this is really weird.
Okay, so that's what I'm agreeing with you. So according to one of Jessica's friends, Jessica and Garland did get in a pretty heated fight that night. She called a friend to come pick her up, and when the friend got there, Jessica wouldn't leave Garland or the house. So it's almost like in the time that it took her friend to get there to pick her up, they had reconciled enough that she didn't want to leave anymore. But she was upset enough that she had called a friend in the first place to leave. So something happened between them like that was bad that night because she wanted to leave.
Right.
But didn't leave. So I imagine that if she would have just left with her friend, she might still be alive. But, I mean, who knows? Can't really go for the what-ifs. Even with this information given to the police, Garland was never seriously looked into and was never considered a person of interest at all.
Okay. Now, in all seriousness, did she ever have a domestic issue with him that involved the police? Did you find that out?
I didn't see anything that said that. Everything just said that he was abusive towards her.
Because I just feel like, I mean, I don't know an exact percentage, but we're only on episode 3, and you've talked about these things to me, obviously, previously, and you watch your murder shows, and I do not care for them whatsoever. But it seems like in 90% of these abusive relationships, they just never call the police, which never, they never get looked into, and they just repeat these offenses over and over. And it's crazy that he had a domestic abuse already. Like an ongoing case, oh, and he wasn't seen as part of this.
I thought you were asking me if she was abusive towards him.
No, about him being abusive towards her. Like, did she ever call the cops?
I don't know. I didn't see anything that she had called the police, but there was, he has a rap sheet of being violent. He has multiple offenses, so maybe one of those was from her. I don't know. They said they were on again, off again, and according to the homeowner of Garland's friend, they hadn't been together in a while. So maybe, I don't know. I didn't find anything that said that.
Can I give advice? Sure. Can I do that on the podcast? If you're in an abusive relationship, get out. You will find somebody that will appreciate you and love you no matter what. And you should not be sticking around in that. Because I don't want to talk about you on a podcast.
That's how I feel.
Because this stuff just creeps me out.
Yeah, it's just really sad because I think that she stated that she had obviously a mild drug issue. She liked to be on Xanax, which is a prescription medication. Anyways, it's not like it's an illegal street drug. And I'm not saying that she should have been on it or not. I'm saying that obviously she had a dependency issue on a medication and she was taken advantage of by somebody who treated her like crap. But she, when she was happy with him, she felt so good that she didn't want to leave him.
Yeah, but I think the real seriousness behind this, and it's like an epidemic among women right now, because I would say women are definitely treated worse in relationships than men. And so I would definitely be willing to say that any woman that's in an abusive relationship or any man that's in an abusive relationship never thinks that their partner is actually going to kill them. They think that they can fix them and it's going to get better, but it 9 times out of 10 ends up being worse.
Oh, yeah. Almost always, because I mean, I was in an abusive marriage, and if I wouldn't have left, it was a previous marriage.
Before anybody thinks that,
I'm positive I would have been dead if I would have stayed with him. So, I mean, that just goes to show there's like good people out there, because obviously I'm in a happy, healthy marriage now. But
we hope until somebody's doing a podcast about us. I'm just kidding.
So her family believes that because they found drugs in her system, police didn't want to deal with the situation, and suicide was an easier out of this case and just an open shut solution to a somewhat messy situation, right? So Jessica's mother says, this is a quote, "There's a hole in my heart from my daughter's loss. She could bring sunshine and light to anyone's life," end quote. And she also says, quote, there's no way that I can believe my daughter took her own life. She loved her children too much. She loved her father and I. Jesse, she was a family girl, end quote.
That makes it even more sad because I didn't hear you say she had kids.
Yeah, she had a son and a daughter.
That's so sad.
And she actually texted her son.
Oh, that's right, because you said that she actually texted her daughter on the way home. So I'm sorry, I completely skipped her. Yeah, called her.
Yeah. According to one source, Linda said that Jessica told her, quote, "Mama, if anything happens to me, go find him," end quote. Him being Garland.
Like the daughter said that to the mom?
That's what Jessica said to Linda, her mom, yeah.
Oh.
So that's ominous, right? Like that kind of seems in general that She's, I mean, and I mean, she feels unsafe with him,
Oh,
you
that's
know.
weird.
So Jessica's family ended up hiring their own forensic scientist, and he looked into the case. Jessica's body was cremated. So one source that I read said it was because of financial, because it's expensive to bury somebody.
Right.
And I mean, no parent ever should have to bury their child, so it's not something that they were prepared for. So I think cremating her was a more cost-effective option. But with her being cremated, there's never going to be a chance to exhume her body and do another autopsy or you know, relook at anything if they were to find anybody in this case. So the forensic scientist, I took a clip from what he said. He said, quote, "To me, this is a staged crime scene. And the one thing you have to take into account is this is just within walking distance where she was visiting with her boyfriend. It's not like she drove into the woods and did this. One of the first things is that is the neatness of the knot tied at the end of the shoestring. It's almost at the end of both shoestrings, and the knot is tied in a very neat is I'm sorry, the knot is tied very neat at the end. So when she sits down to do this, how does she know how much slack she's going to need in the string? Too much or not enough, and everything for that to work. And then the tie from that sitting position," end quote. He just doesn't believe it's physically possible looking at pictures from the crime scene. Like the way the string was tied, it was so neatly done. She would have had to like overstretch her arm up over her head just to tie it the way it was tied.
Right, it doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense at all. And not to mention that there were no, you know, like when you have something pressed into your skin too tight and it leaves the indent, there was no indentation of the string or anything. So I think the whole thing was staged.
It sounds like it.
Okay, so are you ready for the next part that's going to infuriate you?
Yes.
There was a security camera attached to the house facing the mailbox, and the police never asked to look at the
What?
footage. And when the footage was brought up later on, the homeowner said he doesn't know what happened to it. He thinks it might have been taped over, or maybe the battery was dead, or maybe he couldn't remember the passcode to the app to watch the footage.
It almost sounds like this Garland guy had a friend somewhere in the police department.
Yeah, I mean that's I mean it
I
could
mean, this
sound.
sounds very like corrupted all the way around.
Oh, I know. Trust me, it doesn't make any sense at all. There was security camera footage, and it wasn't even able to be used. It just it's really infuriating. Jessica's family. This is another thing that's infuriating. Jessica's family got to keep her iPhone, okay? But they don't have the passcode to it, and Apple's privacy policy is so watertight
Yeah, it's
that
pretty tight.
it is impossible to unlock it. So there may be so many secrets and answers locked away on her phone that they just can't. They've contacted Apple, they've tried to guess her password, they try to reset it, all of it. They can't get into her phone without completely wiping it. So Apple refuses to give them the passcode. Like I said, it's a pretty like watertight.
I don't know
You
either.
can hear that noise. Our house is making noises. So there might be a lot of stuff on her phone that they just don't have access to yet, or ever will be because it's locked so tight. But at 3:29 a.m. on the 2nd of June, there was a message sent to Jessica's son stating that she would be spending the day with Gigi, which is how she referred to Garland. And nobody knows if she sent that text or if somebody else sent the text from her phone.
I apologize. Did you say how old her son was?
I didn't find how old her kids were,
Okay, well, never mind.
but I feel like they were probably in the preteen age because they had phones.
Right.
That would be my guess. She was 37. I don't know how old her kids were. I'm not even going to mention names of her kids or anything because that's a private thing, you know. So they already been through enough
I
with her
just like to
mom.
give you a reminder that when I'm 37, my kids will not even be at a preteen age, so thank you
Well,
for
that's
making
because
me
you have
feel
kids
older.
when you're old, so.
Some people are responsible. I'm just kidding.
All right, here I am, 28 with a almost 12-year-old, so I mean, do the math on that. So yeah, so I guess I don't know how old her kids are. I'm not even going to mention much about her kids because I feel like they deserve their privacy because their mom was already brutally taken from them. So basically I'm trying to keep this case alive by talking about it because somebody knows something. Somebody knows what happened to Jessica that night. There's no way around it. They 100% have to know something. Someone does. Because they were in the house. They knew they weren't getting along. Allegedly, she is threatening to kill herself.
Oh, could that be Garland knocking at our door as you're trying to expose him? I'm just kidding.
Well, listen, I'm not the only one. I'm not saying Garland did it. But I'm also not saying that Garland doesn't know anything because I'm 99% sure he does.
Yeah, it seems very weird.
I don't know.
It seems like you don't even have a lot of information from Garland's perspective, and you would think that, like, if your girlfriend died in a suicide attempt, that he would be the one speaking to people and, like, talking about how sad he is. But I haven't heard any of that.
I haven't seen anything like that. He just kind of minimized himself in the light of the spotlight because he was like, nope, had nothing to do with it. Don't know what happened to her.
Yeah, very suspicious.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And then the homeowner. So I did read on one of my sources that the homeowner, and I could not find his name anywhere, and he didn't want pictures of his house or location put out because he was receiving death threats from multiple people in the community. And I can imagine it's because they think that he knows something and he's not coming forward.
You know what this reminds me of?
Upset and mad about it.
Like, as far as like a killer goes, and I'm sorry because it's probably going to strike people, all of our 7 viewers, but our listeners, whatever.
Hey, we have to reach all 7.
Don't worry, by the time somebody listens to this, we'll have more than 7. But you were watching like a TV show one day, and I can't remember the guy's name, but he killed his kids and his wife and he buried them in oil tanks. Watts. Yeah, and Chris was like part of his own search party looking for his kids.
So as bad as that is that Chris Watts did that, it's actually super common for a killer to involve themselves in the investigation because they want to see if they're on the spotlight or radar.
Right, which makes sense, but this guy's like, I'm just going to like wipe it away.
So it doesn't really matter. Okay, so yeah, I will say, just, you know, going back, it does. If people think that it's you, you could insert yourself in the investigation or completely minimize yourself, and people are going to say you did something wrong.
I guess the part that's crazy to me, and I guess what I'm really just trying to say is it's insane to me that these people go and murder people that they love or that they've spent all this time with, and they literally have no remorse whatsoever.
Well, that's why I'm so fascinated by it is the psychology behind it, is because what...
Pray for me. She just said that she's fascinated.
Well, I'm not fascinated. Obviously, the murders are sad. I'm saying... Help! I'm fascinated in the fact that there are brains out there that operate like this, and I wonder if there's a way to cure that part of your brain. You know what I mean?
That's weird.
So, anyways, yeah, I don't know. The psychology behind it is interesting, and that's all I got to say about that. So, also, there's a Facebook page that her mom runs, and it's to keep her memory and her story alive and active in people's minds. The page is called What Happened to Jessica Johnson. Her mother posts in it. You can watch videos and see photos of the person that Jessica was. Also, if anybody knows anything about this case, I highly recommend that you reach out to the family or to the police in Mississippi. The case is still active because there's so many unanswered questions in it. So if there's anything that anybody knows, all 7 of you, if you know anything about it, contact somebody, let somebody know, because the family really deserves closure. They already had their daughter ripped away from them. So, I mean, they deserve at the very least closure. And that's all I got. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Curtis's Conspiracy Corner.
Everybody's favorite part of the podcast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a true crime podcast. I mean, true crime and conspiracy meet in the middle.
Okay, look. So for real, today will be, I will say, okay, maybe they kind of do. But I was thinking that today's really does involve some true crime.
Okay. And well, I mean, that's why I said they kind of meet in the middle. They go hand in hand.
So I don't want to embarrass you. So I'm not going to ask you if you know who it is. Because in our first episode, you had no idea what happened in the 60s. Now,
I mean, but still, I still don't. So
right. And that's crazy to me. So check this out. Have you ever heard of a little band called the Beatles?
No.
Are you serious? No.
Never even seen that movie yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And he knew all the Beatles songs.
So, it was, oh my God, that movie was trash. Anyways. I would never spend my time on that again.
0 out of 10. Don't recommend.
Yeah, completely awful.
No shade if you like it, though, because if you like it, then good for you.
Nah, she won't give you shade, but I will. So, anyways.
Curtis has no chill.
Okay.
That is like the end segment of the podcast.
True. And there's no chill today. So, arguably, everybody knows who the Beatles are.
Okay.
Because they were one of the most famous bands of all time.
Okay.
I mean, literally, I would say.
Are they all still alive?
No.
Okay.
And that is what we're talking about today.
Okay.
So, I guess I'll maybe embarrass you. Do you know who Paul McCartney is?
Is he the guy that had the haircut like the boy from Stranger Things?
Sure.
Then sure.
Okay. So, Paul McCartney is one of the most famous of the Beatles. Like, everybody remembers John Lennon, Ringo, usually. But Paul McCartney is still alive today. Mind you, he's about to turn 80 years old.
I mean, that's not that old. My grandpa's 86.
Yeah, except for the fact that he's still doing tours and concerts.
By himself?
Yes.
So if he's by himself, he's not the Beatles anymore?
No, he's just Paul McCartney.
Okay.
He's wrote his own songs. He does his own concerts. He's played, I believe he was in the Super Bowl. I guess during COVID, he took a break because, you know, he obviously COVID. Didn't want to be around everything. Yeah, COVID. Okay, so this theory is insane, and I found out about it today. I literally had no idea. Okay, so the conspiracy is that Paul McCartney is dead. Paul McCartney died on November 9th, 1966.
Wait, when did the Beatles get together?
Before it was that? Sometime in the 60s, I believe. Let me see. Let me pull up another page here so I don't erase any of my information.
I didn't mean to throw a question at you that you weren't expected for.
That's okay.
I just need
comments. None of this is planned, by the way. I know nothing about hers and she knows nothing about mine.
Yeah, so basically all of this podcast is about, if you're new here, I give him a true crime case that he's never heard of, engage his reaction, and he throws a conspiracy theory that I may or may not have heard of. Most of the time so far, 3 for 3, I have not heard of them, and he gauges my reaction. So that's what I'm sorry, I'm just trying to pass time while you look it up.
I found it.
Okay,
so
go ahead.
They were actually formed in 1960 and they were teenagers when they met.
So 6 years later he died.
Yes,
according to the theory.
Okay, so the theory is that they were recording. Okay.
Okay.
And Paul got mad about something and stormed out. Uh-huh. Just in this fury rage, gets in his car, gets in an accident, and gets decapitated.
Dang.
Multiple people remember it.
So is this, hold on now, is this a conspiracy theory or is this a Mandela effect?
No, this is a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
It's not that people don't remember it because it was covered up. So this wasn't like public news or anything that Paul McCartney died. This was, shh, Paul McCartney's not dead. He's still alive.
Okay.
I'm going to keep going. You just got to wait for the information.
Keep going then.
Okay. So I'm going to switch over to this page here. It's a little bit weird, but I want to get this information correct. So in the years to come, they've never openly talked about Paul McCartney dying. Okay.
Well, if they were supposed to keep it shush, that actually makes sense.
Right. So they've kept it hush this whole time. They were told to keep it hush. Now there's things that are just really weird. So which day was it? It says 50 years ago, a Detroit DJ accidentally uncovered everything. Because do you remember back in the day, and this is very well known, about their subliminal messages and records? Right, like Stairway to Heaven is really talking about like you going to hell, or Another One Bites the Dust talks about marijuana is fun to smoke. You know what I'm talking about? They play it backwards, and there's a whole different song.
That's what those two songs. I know
about
subliminal messaging, but I did not know either one of those subliminal messages.
Yes. Okay.
Hi, my name is actually Patrick Starr, and I, in fact, live under a rock.
So. Clearly. Okay. So there's a famous song called Revolution Number 9, or Revolution 9, by the Beatles. So a mysterious caller calls in and tells him to play the song backwards. Revolution 9. So if anybody's hearing this and you have an original copy, play it backwards. When he started to, the words, "Turn me on, dead man," start playing.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, so actually, not including the Beatles, I've actually heard a conspiracy theory that if you play rap songs and certain songs backwards, they have a subliminal message in them.
Yes. I've heard that. This is very similar, but this is where it started, where people found it because on the record players, you could play it backwards. Now, not even just that is weird, right? But at the end of Strawberry Fields Forever, if you play it backwards, John says, "I buried Paul."
Okay. So this is a cool theory, but if they really did it, why would they be like low key putting it in their stuff?
It seems weird, right?
Yeah.
Not even just that, because the band members have come out and said Paul's still alive. They're saying that it's not true.
Well, they're not. So how are they saying that?
But the most infamous album that they have of all time is Abbey Road. You know, where they're walking across the white lines.
I actually have no idea.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Okay. Oh, sorry, I hit my mic. I'm going to just look up this picture so I can show her, because I can't believe this is like literally the most infamous record of all time.
I just never got into
it. Do you remember this picture?
No, I've never seen
that. Are you kidding me? Okay, now if you can look closely, Paul is the third one back in the gray suit, okay?
Okay.
Tell me, oh my gosh, I just dropped my whole mic. I am so sorry.
He just whipped his mic across the room because he's that upset about this.
Yeah, I'm really upset. Okay, here, just take my phone. So Paul is the third one there, right?
All right.
Tell me why he's the only one that is walking out of step and he's barefoot.
Oh.
Yeah. Real weird.
That is... I did notice right away that he was barefoot because I am also always barefoot, so... Or without shoes anyways. But that's interesting.
And he's the only one out of step.
It's almost like they had to Photoshop him in a photo.
Exactly.
And he's also flipping the camera off.
I guess I did not see that. Oh, you're right. That's crazy. He totally has his middle finger pointed down. If you were looking at it right now, that is insane. I did not read that part. But yes, the theory goes on that Paul McCartney is actually dead. And that somebody, an actor of some sort, has been playing Paul McCartney all of these years to keep the hopes alive, because the Beatles were so big at the time that that would have been devastating for everyone in that time period.
That seems insane.
Well, let us know what you think. Do you think Paul McCartney's dead, or do you think he's alive? Is it a conspiracy or a true story?
Tell me, literally. Okay, so yes. So now that's a good segue to our plugs, because we have an email, and it is, I actually have to look it up because there's some extra letters in there. partnersincrimethepodcast@gmail.com, and you can find us on Instagram, where we're going to post this photo of the Beatles. We're going to post photos of...
Oh, I like that.
Jessica, what?
I like that. So everybody can see the middle finger, and then they can also see that he's barefoot and out of step.
Yeah, so we're going to add that to... I mean, normally I don't add the conspiracy part to the Instagram, but today I'm going to, because there was a photo reference. So we're going to add the photo of...
That's what the viewers or listeners
Jessica
really want.
Jessica Johnson. Debating on posting the photo of her next to the mailbox, just so people can understand. It's blurred out. All the graphic part is blurred out, but just the way.
I guess that wouldn't be as bad then.
It is. I mean, trigger warning. I'll put a trigger warning in it.
So. Yeah, make it like the second picture on Instagram.
Yeah,
so they
I'm
have to
put
like
a trigger warning in the description,
it.
And it'll be the second photo. Just for anybody listening, and then we'll add the photo of the Beatles. That way, people can see what he's talking about, and then let us know. Email us, send us a DM, follow us on Instagram. That's pretty much all the social media we have is email and Instagram, because we have a TikTok. We just haven't posted anything on it yet. But we thought about doing like little video clips on TikTok. But...
Yeah, let us know if you want to see us and you want to see us do some TikToks. Let us know. We'll make some.
So Curtis is TikTok famous, and so
oh my gosh,
he knows all about making videos, and I'm not into the camera stuff because I look like a toe. So,
I'm married to Grimace, y'all. I'm just kidding. I can't believe you just said that.
Anyways, was that your whole conspiracy theory?
Yes, it was.
All right, well,
I already have mine planned for next week. Just, you know, I was going to do it today. But since you brought up that I'm TikTok famous, it does have to do with my TikTok.
He has one account that has like 40,000 followers. And the other one has like almost 10,000. So he kind of thinks he's something.
I don't think I'm anything. She thinks I'm something and loves to tell people.
That's true. So... we hope you keep listening, and we hope you follow us on Instagram, and we hope that you send us an email, and we hope that you have a great day.
And we hope that... never mind. He just said we hope like 8 times, so I just wanted to be in line with it.
What do you hope? You hope people listen to this podcast?
I hope to end world hunger.
All right. And on that note, everybody have a good night.
Have a good night, everybody.
Or day, because... people listen all the time. So goodbye.
Sweet dreams.